The Solidarity Fund wrapping up operations in the next couple of months amidst concerns that we could be headed to a fifth wave of COVID infections. Several countries imposing new lockdowns, populations trying to mitigate the risks. Adrian Enthoven is the deputy chairperson of the Solidarity Fund. Is there nothing left to do, AD? Or is the money all run out? Or what is the position with the Solidarity Fund?
Firstly, thank you for having me on the show. I mean, I think it's important to remember that the Solidarity Fund was set up as a crisis intervention. It was, you know, as we were going into COVID, the idea was to set up an independently managed institution with the highest levels of governance that would unite the country in the fight against COVID-19, that would, you know, mobilize funds, direct them to the most critically urgent needs in the health system, in, you know, in the humanitarian response, and in the kind of communication and behavior change drives. And really, you know, when it was set up, it was, we mobilized an army of volunteers. Now, over 400 people have worked on a volunteer basis for the fund, you know, since its inception. Over 100 companies have provided pro bono services. And really, our feeling, I mean, not only have we spent down 97% of our, or committed or spent down 97% of our funds, which was the intention in the start. And the intention was that we would front end our contribution, you know, while the country was, you know, preparing itself for the crisis, and to try to be an agile, rapid response vehicle, which I think we have been. And now we're sort of coming to the end of the funds available, but I also think we're coming to the end of the crisis phase of COVID. I mean, we know that COVID is with us and will be with us for some time, but we're no longer in a kind of crisis phase with COVID. We're now in a new phase of living with COVID, and we feel that our work has been done, and I think it's right that, you know, we were set up for a particular purpose. We feel that we've fulfilled that purpose, and it's now time to wind down the fund. The fund is not going to close entirely, so the entity will still be available in a dormant state. So if there's another calamity or major pandemic, the fund will be ready to be able to restart to respond to it.
I was going to ask that question, actually, because what you have created is a phenomenal structure which is perfectly positioned to deal with an earthquake, a famine, a drought, or whatever the case might be. You know, these things happen from time to time. So good that that is being maintained. What's the biggest victory, you think, for the fund over the last 2 years? Because I'm sure there have been some very significant wins as you've gone through this process.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to point to just one. I mean, I think, you know, we were the first out the blocks with PPE procurement, and I'm very proud that we had no instances of kind of misappropriation of funds or you know, putting faulty PPE into the market. So, I mean, I think we were a major contribution in the beginning with that. We were a major contribution in the beginning to ramp up the national testing program. I think our contribution to the vaccine rollout was really critical in providing the deposit for the COVAX facility, which was really critical for us. You know, the rapid kind of mobilization and getting vaccines into the country. We provided critical essential equipment to hospitals when they really needed it. I think our food relief and GBV programs have really been important. I mean, I think the one thing that really also, you know, it needs to be spoken about is our, you know, massive communication drive. You know, in the early stages, to help people understand, you know, radio stations across the country working in communities to understand what this virus was about and how to respond to it. And then more recently, obviously really getting behind the national vaccine campaign to get the country vaccinated.
What have you learned? I mean, what have you learned about the country? What have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about volunteers and people stepping up? I don't know. What is, to your mind, the biggest lesson that you've learned and you take away from you? You go, well, you know, I volunteered an awful lot of time over a 2 year period, but actually it was worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce, I mean, obviously it was all consuming. You know, I think it's, we were having board meetings on a weekly basis. All the subcommittees of the board were meeting on a weekly basis. You know, the executive team was meeting on a daily basis. It was just like, you know, all consuming. I mean, I think the main kind of lesson and the learning for me is just how much we can achieve as a country when we work together and we pull together. And if I just look at what we managed to achieve, you know, with working with government and with business and civil society, and we had, you know, trade unionists on our board, and it was really a sense of this is a national effort and everyone is pulling in the same direction. And I think we really achieved an amazing amount. And I think it's a kind of a testimony to how South Africans are able to get things done when they work together and they pull together. And I think you know, I think an important lesson for me is like, how do we think about this model as a model we can apply to some of the other challenges we face as a country?
Yep. Sadly, we only tend to pull the rabbits out of the hat when we're desperate. But yes, if we could bottle it as a, if you could, that's your next project, Aidy. And that is to find out how we can apply it proactively rather than reactively. I think we'd certainly start winning more than we're losing. Dr. Adrian Enthoven on the line to us from Stellenbosch this evening, Deputy Chair at the Solidarity Fund.